And here is the Writer's Almanac for Saturday, July the 11th, 2009. It's the birthday of the woman who first said, "Well-behaved women seldom make history." That was Laurel Thatcher Ulrich, born Sugar City, Idaho, 1938. She wrote several books about the lives of women in colonial New England, including one that won the Pulitzer Prize for History, A Midwife's Tale. And back when she was a graduate student, she wrote an academic article about Puritan funeral services, which included the quote, "Well-behaved women seldom make history." Her quote was taken out of context. It was used as a rallying cry, got printed on T-shirts and bumper stickers and mugs and tote bags. And finally, Laurel Thatcher Ulrich decided she may as well use it herself. And she wrote a book with that title, came out in 2007. It's the birthday of E.B. White, born Elwin Brooks White in Mount Vernon, New York, 1899. Went off to college at Cornell, worked as a journalist, traveled across the country with a friend in a Model T Ford, worked on a cruise ship up to Alaska, came back to New York, where he picked up a copy of a magazine called The New Yorker. It had just come out that year, 1925. He sent some pieces in, became a regular contributor, became a staff member. In the mid-30s, he and his wife Catherine moved to a farmhouse in rural Maine. E.B. White had nephews and nieces who were asking him to tell stories. He started working on a children's book. He'd gotten the idea years before after he'd taken a hike in the Shenandoah Valley in the spring, came back to New York on a train, went to sleep in an upper berth, and dreamed of a small character who had the features of a mouse, was nicely dressed, courageous, and questing. So he wrote a book about the mouse child, Stuart Little, which begins, "When Mrs. Frederick C. Little's second son arrived, everybody noticed that he was not much bigger than a mouse." Up on his farm in Maine, E.B. White was raising pigs, and after a young pig he was raising got sick and died, White wrote one of his most famous essays, Death of a Pig, and then he wrote a children's novel in which the pig does not have to die, Charlotte's Web. It became one of the best-selling children's books of all time. E.B. White, who said, "I arise in the morning torn between a desire to improve the world and a desire to enjoy the world. This makes it hard to plan the day." And it was on this day, 1960, that the novel To Kill a Mockingbird was published, written by Nell Harper Lee, who dropped the Nell because she didn't want anybody calling her Nellie. Grew up in Monroeville, Alabama, the model for the town of Macomb in the book. And the character of Dill, based on her good friend from childhood, Truman Capote. Harper Lee was living in New York, spent 8 years working on that book, had several drafts. It didn't seem to be coming together. She got so frustrated with it one night, she threw it out her apartment window into the snow and called her editor, who told her to get out there and pick up those pages, which she did. And To Kill a Mockingbird has gone on to sell more than 30 million copies. Here's a poem for today by Deborah Garrison, Pink and White. Peonies are the only flower I care for, and when I saw them from the window yesterday, tumbled and heavy along a fence, fully exploded, nodding at the ground, hanging their heads but not yet spoiled, I remembered a summer, maybe 7 years ago, or was it 10, I wasn't sure our love would come again. And here I am, almost kissing the grass like that, bursting and rich, cracked all over, like broken cake, makes you cry, but still sweet. Pink and White by Deborah Garrison, from The Second Child, published by Random House, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can learn more about the work of your favorite poets with their series of poetry podcasts at poetryfoundation.org. Engineered by Noah Smith. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.